talking, cause you know we got some problems. So tune on in the way we talk and how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might be your games, Miss MP.
Hi, Alec. Thanks so much for coming on.
No, thanks so much for asking. This is kind of a bit surreal. So,
where are you now? Are you in Mexico now?
Yeah, in Mexico. Yeah. Cool.
Is there a time difference? Are you on the east or west?
I don't know. It's 10 a.m. So, okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How have you enjoyed playing there so far?
I mean, it's been an adjustment. My first game was in altitude, so that sucked. Like they were like, oh yeah, you're gonna die, and I'm like, great time to have a debut. And I did one run and like my mind was just not, like nothing was connecting, mind, legs, nothing. It was just a shambles. And then we did running after the game and I was like, this is painful. Yeah,
so, that's a wicked thing to have to adapt to. I always think even like just teams within the NWSL, teams that go and play places where the elevation is just a little bit different, I'm like, that is a massive disadvantage.
Yes. Yeah. No, definitely learning that the hard way. Like, yeah, it was, yeah. First game altitude, second game was like 36 degrees here in Monterrey. And then we went away altitude again. And then I got food poisoning after the game. So I'm like living it up.
You've had quite a week. That's crazy. Well, besides that, how have you liked it? Are there any parts that like you've enjoyed?
Yeah, no, like, I mean, the city's really cool. I've decided to, I guess, change things up a little bit. I've obviously lived in a few countries now, and like, normally I just live pretty close to training. My life's kind of going to training, coming back. But I've decided to live a little bit further away in an area where there's a few more things to do. And I'm also living in an Airbnb with like the host and another person who's just arrived. So just so I could immerse myself a little bit more and kind of, yeah, have a different conversations as well, not always about football, and kind of go on different adventures. So I'm enjoying that part of it. Like one of them included coming back home, finding my roommate out in the street because we ran out of water. So then we had to go on an adventure to go get water. And yeah, I had to learn how to flush a toilet with a jug of water. That was interesting. Couldn't shower at home, couldn't wash my clothes, lots of fun stuff so far. So
you were really keeping yourself on your toes, aren't you?
No, I feel like it's self-inflicted, but like, yeah, look, it's been a fun adjustment. I mean, I think went from like the World Cup where everything was done for us, we had chartered flights, everything, and now like literally I didn't even know when I arrived here, but like it's not even a street, like they're completely tearing up this whole area. So I'm walking like on a full construction site every day, just hanging out. So
it's cool though. You're immersing yourself in the culture and you're getting like such a different experience. So that's really cool. And you'll learn how to flush a toilet now with a jug of water. That's
exactly, like this is like life skills that I've always needed. So.
So yeah, you mentioned you have played in different, like a bunch of different countries. How do you think your game's grown from all those experience, and how do you think you've grown as a person doing that?
Yeah, I mean, you change quite quickly, I think. I mean, you learn a lot of life skills. I think like, yeah, the first time I went over to Spain, just having to figure out a whole different language, completely different culture, eating at very late times. Like we had a team dinner that started at 10 p.m. So that was strange. But no, I think like in terms of the football side of things, you know, lots of different coaches, different training drills, a whole bunch of like internationals. I think that first year at Atleti or the second, we had 13 different nationalities. So, you know, you have lots of different people coming from completely different backgrounds and different football styles, and you're all trying to mesh that into one team. So I think that was a really unique experience to, you know, now have friends all around the world from that. But yeah, like, you know, Japan as well. Spain and Japan, I guess, were quite similar in terms of super technical. And then coming over to the US, very transitional, high-paced. Anything can kind of happen in the league. You have no idea who's going to win week in, week out. So yeah, a different style once again. I never went to the college in the US or had much experience apart from when we had a few Americans that would come play in Australia. And that was the only exposure I really had. So then, yeah, suddenly I was immersed in it. But No, all these things have definitely helped. I think coming to the US helped my chances probably with the national team a little bit more, because we were heading in a bit of a direction of, you know, playing a little bit more transitional, get the ball forward really quickly. So it kind of helped being over in the US, adapting to that a little bit before. And then, yeah, changing my game slightly to help that. So I think, you know, all of those things have helped me massively to get to this point now. And I'm pretty decent at adapting, I would say.
I was just curious about when you had to play on a team where you don't know the language, how does that work? Do you teach yourself off the field? Do you learn just by listening to the other players talk? And is that, was that scary, or is that scary for you? Because I can imagine that's so intimidating.
Oh, it's terrifying. Like my first session, I kept like, they kept pushing me up to the front of the line. And I was like, no, I don't know what's going on.
That's so mean. That's like, a horrible thing.
Yes. I was just like, okay, I'm going to stand right at the back, try and like memorize things. I was pretty lucky. Like I pick up on drills quite quickly, but it was just the details I'd keep missing. So, you know, suddenly the drill would become one touch. And then they would get frustrated when I took two. And I was like, well, how am I meant to know? So, yeah, a few of those issues kind of came up a fair bit at the beginning. And then you start to pick it up and you know, like it was quite challenging, especially in Atletico. We never did the same thing like every day. You couldn't be like, oh, we're going to do this drill today. It was not the case. Whereas I think, especially in Japan, everything was like a routine. Like you knew what you were doing each day. There was one day where we would just run. So like we knew that that was not the fun day. But yeah, like you have to, you just needed like, you just full on visual learning. Like you really just have to pick up on as much as you can, details, watch people. I think you're just hyper aware the whole time, which also takes away of you just playing, because you're worried about all of those little details at the beginning. So it's definitely a challenge. And in Japan, I mean, I only had one other international with me, and we had a translator maybe once a week. And even our translator was like, the coach doesn't, like, he's not explaining things well. Like, I can't even tell you guys what to do. So, like, this is not helpful at all.
Translator can't even help you. Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, yeah. So when the translator doesn't even know what the coach is talking about, you know you're in for a tough one. But, yeah, I think the first year, like, I was super scared to even try and speak. I was very intimidated by everybody. No one was native English speaking, so that also made it difficult. I had two teammates who like helped me so much, but they were from Portugal and Italy. So English wasn't perfect, but they were so, so helpful, and I'm very grateful for them. But then the second year we had a few more, like we had an American come, girl from England and a girl from Netherlands as well. So there was a few of us and we kind of practiced together. I had a bit more confidence to speak. They decided, because there were so many of us, they would help us with lessons as well. And then Duolingo, obviously, best friend, love that owl. We hang out all the time. So that's another added bonus. But yeah, it's tough. Like, I'm not going to lie, you can't just focus on the football. There's a few more things going on.
So what type of environment as a player do you think you thrive in the most? Do you thrive in the routined one where you know what to expect and then you're intrinsically motivating yourself? Or do you thrive in the environment that's a little bit more unpredictable and chaotic and the environment pushes you more? Like, yes, of course, the one where you feel settled is going to feel better, but which one makes you thrive more as a player, do you think?
I think, like, the chaotic one in the end makes me thrive more, and that's kind of what I've been searching for. So, you know, when things started to click in Spain, I was like, this is exactly where I want to be. This is the environment that I want to be in. So, you know, you're constantly being challenged in training, but like once I got those finer details sorted, I was like, yeah, this is great. Like, I kind of hate doing the same drills over and over again, and you know what you're expecting, you're kind of going through the motions. Like, I like to be challenged, to not know what to expect, to not be like, okay, we're just going to be running today, we're going to be doing the same exact running. So yeah, I think it's kind of cool now, because coming to Mexico, like, I have that background of knowing like Spanish, so it was a lot easier to slot into the training sessions here, and the coaches also happen to be Spanish, so it's very familiar to me. And it's, yeah, like it's been challenging and kind of exactly what I was looking for. So it's been good. I think you just have to go through a little bit of shit to get to that point.
How do you like compare that to the Australian national team? Like, do you feel like you guys have a routine and schedule when you're together, or is that also like changes a lot?
I think it's pretty routine. Especially during the World Cup, I mean, you kind of would just do the same stuff over and over again, which, yeah, look, like you kind of understand that in a World Cup setting. And then when we're in camp, we're only together for the 10 days or so. So you kind of know what to expect. The only thing that's different, I guess, is the opposition. So, yeah, it's not, you know, not so much like a club where you get to kind of change things up during the week, and you know, you have your away trips and stuff like that. You kind of know what to expect a little bit more. So yeah, not, yeah, I guess it's, I get excited when they let us do rondos, let's just say that. So
I love rondos, man. It's crazy. Every single person we talk to. Yeah. We'd love to talk to you more about the World Cup. Can you tell us like how special that was, and just, is there anything that like sticks out in your mind as being like a really like great moment for you and the team?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's obviously a home World Cup, so it's like a bit surreal to think that that actually just happened. But I mean, my highlight 100% would be my debut. I mean, it didn't end well in the result for the team for sure. But, you know, I think I'm very grateful that the refs were counting all the extra time. I got an extra 11 minutes added on when I got put on with 5 minutes to go. So I was like, oh sweet, I got like 15 minutes here. but no, it was really special. I had like, you know, my partner in the crowd, my parents, one of my best friends growing up, like flew down as well. So I had a lot of really special people in the crowd. And like after the game, normally we're not allowed to see any family. We're not allowed to sign anything. We're meant to just go straight in. But our security guard kind of let me see my family, and that was really special after the game. There were some kids that were trying to block my family, and I was like, guys, not the time. I get like 2 minutes. But no, I think that moment was definitely a highlight. And then, you know, in terms of as a team, like, you know, winning that, I think it was, yeah, the quarterfinal match against France on the penalty shootouts was just like a massive, you know, shift in just everything in Australia. I mean, everybody was talking about it. We couldn't go anywhere without getting recognized. It was, you know, I think people were taking interest throughout the tournament, but I think that was just the biggest shift, beating France in that penalty shootout when, you know, historically we've not made it that far in general, but, you know, we've been knocked out in penalty shootouts and had that disappointment in the past. So I think, you know, to get over that, like, that hurdle was a massive relief to everybody. And it was just like something that, you know, changed like women's football in Australia. So you can't really, yeah, that, I think that's definitely the highlight.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you still seeing the effects of the hype of the World Cup? Like, will it trickle into the leagues and the teams that are in Australia?
I think so. I mean, I heard that all the teams like have boosted up their women's membership already, so broke records there, which is awesome. I'm hoping, you know, now that it's a longer season as well, you know, that's just gonna continue to develop the league there, and there's going to be more interest and more people wanting to watch. There's definitely a lot of people that are interested and waiting for that league to kick on. And you know, it's a bit like, you know, it's kind of sad that I'm not like there right now seeing all the effects post World Cup, but obviously people are telling me about it and I'm hearing a whole bunch of things, and I'm really excited for the league to start there to continue that momentum. And you know, hopefully, yeah, we get more and more backing and it becomes even more professional. We can, you know, attract even more players from overseas to come and, you know, stay. Because I think, you know, in the past we got to get, you know, players for maybe 3 months. Obviously a lot of Americans came over because it lined up really well with NWSL, but now it's more of a choice. So, you know, hopefully we can kind of lure some players over to our side and continue to grow the league there. But no, I think it's a super exciting time at the moment. And yeah, it's never going to be the same again, which is cool.
Yeah, that's so true. I was just thinking about this because you said you had your debut for Australia and then you also just had your debut last week for your team. What is it like to have a debut, like, what is it like to step on the field, and how are you nervous? Like, are you confident during that time? Like, can you tell me a little bit about that? Cause I can imagine it's just, it's such a huge milestone for your career.
It's weird. Cause like I've debuted for a lot of clubs now. So it's kind of like, you know, not that it doesn't still feel special, but I think this one was like, you know, I found out I was coming to Mexico like 4 days before my flight. So it was super fast. I didn't really have time to wrap my head around it. I was still, you know, it was very fresh from World Cup. And then I'm suddenly in Mexico and I'm like, oh shit, I'm about to debut. This was probably the most chilled I'd been. I was kind of like, I've done this before. I'm just going to trust the process of it. Obviously, like the fans here in Mexico, and especially at Tigres, they are super, super passionate. So if you don't have a good debut, they're going to be mad. And I kind of knew that. And I was like, oh, there's a bit of added pressure there. But I think I was under so much pressure pre-World Cup to make the World Cup squad. Like nothing can really compare to that. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to see what happens, just going to trust my instincts here and hopefully it works out. And yeah, like it ended up being really cool. I mean, we're playing against, you know, one of the other top teams here who were coming first in the league before we played. And then if we won, we would have been top of the table. So I think it was really cool to be part of that and be part of that win and, you know, kind of, yeah, play against one of the other best teams in Mexico. I think we were at like Azteca Stadium, which is like the main stadium in Mexico as well, where the World Cup's going to be. So yeah, it's like, I'm pretty fortunate that I get to do this for a living for sure. And like have a really cool debut experience like that.
Yeah. I love that you said you just were more chill though, because I feel like so many of us can work ourselves up and completely like get in our own head before we play, but it sounds like you just like you're used to it or whatever, but going in confident and excited and not so much like super nervous is so amazing and something that players should definitely do. So when did you know that you wanted to play professional soccer? Did you always know since you were little, or is this something that came up later in life?
No, I definitely always knew. Like there was no question about it. That's all I ever wanted to do. I didn't know that there was like women's football. I thought I was going to, you know, play with men. Like I just had no clue. But yeah, I knew that I was going to play football. Even if it wasn't professional, I would still be playing football. Like I just absolutely love it. And that was quite evident from a young age. But yeah, things progressed quite quickly when I was young. I think I first got scouted when I was maybe 9, and then it kind of kept going from there. So yeah, definitely been a bit of a whirlwind, but I always knew that this was going to be my path.
Did you grow up with parents who put a lot of pressure on you in terms of playing well, or were they more laid back?
They were pretty laid back, to be honest. I think like the one thing that just like pissed me off that my dad did all the time, he was just like, you need to use your arms, you got to protect yourself. Like I'd always get, you know, completely pushed off the ball. To be fair, they were fouls, so I'd get free kicks, but he was just like, you know, you got to spread your wings and protect yourself. And I hated hearing that. And it was the one thing he harped on like over and over and over again. But I mean, other than that, like I think it was me that was really driving like what I wanted to do with football. Like I was pestering them to take me to places. I mean, they had to, yeah, drive me all around Adelaide and, you know, pay for me to go on trips and, you know, hopefully get scouted and things like that. So, but it was all driven by me wanting to do it at the end of the day. Like they never said, you know, go and get on the field and play good. Otherwise, you know, like this is a waste of time. Like they just knew that it was what I wanted to do. And I think that's what made it easier as well. When I did first move out of home when I was 16 and went to Melbourne and went interstate, and I was living with like 6 other girls. And yeah, like they were super chilled about that, which made it easier. It was never this big deal. And, you know, when I made that move to Spain when I was 19 as well, like super supportive, knew that it was the right thing for me to do, wanted me to do it. And ever since then, I mean, yeah, obviously been to quite a few different countries now, and they've been super supportive the whole way. So very grateful for that, because I know it's not always the same story for everyone.
Totally. It sounds like your parents are like a great support. And I like how your dad said that, because I feel like dads always have funny things to say that don't totally make sense, but it's always still in your head. Like there's my dad would say some funny stuff too. But I'd love to know, what advice do you have for players who, I mean, you left home at a young age. I didn't know you left at 16. What advice do you have for players who are even going to college and are a little bit nervous about going out there on their own? Do you have anything that you would tell them to do?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, what I've learned is like when I've gone to a new environment, I bring things that like make me feel comfortable wherever I go. And it doesn't matter how like strange they are, but like I've got like this Drogba jersey, obviously, like that's been with me everywhere. I've got a whole family of stuffed animals and Lego people that come with me. I have like a certain brand of tea bags that need to travel with me. So like no matter what, if I'm struggling, I can have like the tea that I like, the things that I like with me. So there's definitely like I pack a suitcase that's pure comfort. And in terms of the other stuff, like it's always going to be difficult at the beginning. Like there's kind of no way around it. You need to, in a way, prepare yourself that is going to be that discomfort. But on the other side of that, there's so much reward. Like, you know, I knew that if I kind of chose the easier path, like, yeah, I'd probably still be back in Australia playing. I mean, I can play professional in, you know, my home country. I can play in my hometown now. I can, you know, even now, like that it's become more professional, I can make a good living there and, you know, stay. You know, my partner's there. It'd be a lot easier if I was just at home. But like how rewarding it is to be able to go and challenge yourself, especially in all of these different environments and the people that you meet and like the way that you then see the world from it. I mean, like I can't even talk it up higher enough. Like it's tough. But you know, you meet some incredible people along the way, and that's like, yeah, been the highlight for me for sure.
Well, I love it because it goes right along with what you were saying with training. And when training's a little bit uncomfortable, that's what ends up pushing you to be better in the end. And it's only because you've pushed yourself out of your comfort zone so many times that you're now to the point where you're comfortable living in different countries and places where you don't speak the language. And it's never the first time you do that. I mean, some people, yes, they have the gift where it's just easy right off the bat and they don't care. But yeah, for anyone that's nervous about a new environment or something, it's never easiest on the first try. But the more you sort of desensitize yourself to that challenge, the easier it gets every progressive time after that. So I just love that your journey has literally proven that, as it's gotten, you know, not easier for you, but it's thrown you a little bit less into an uncomfortable position now every time that you do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Also, I love the suitcase of comfort. I want to do that now.
That's a great idea.
And do you make the Lego people, or are they already made?
Like, I mean, a little bit of a mix. Like, I mean, I'm fidgeting with one of them right now, to be honest.
Yeah, oh, the little Lego guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got like, I guess there's like my original family of them. They're all like unique ones. You can't buy them. So like, I used to go with like my best friend when I was in primary school. We'd go to like a specialty Lego store, and that's where you can literally buy like, you know, individual pieces of hair and different heads and like different clothes for them and everything. I'd spend hours there just like creating my own world, essentially. And then, yeah, these ones have all stuck. They've all got backstories. That would be a whole other podcast, like going into all of their like backstories and everything. But yeah, so like the original one, the original crew that comes with me, like, yeah, they're all unique to me, which is kind of cool.
I thought you were going to turn your computer to a whole city of Legos. That's what I'm picturing.
A whole city.
That's awesome. I love that. This is so interesting. I've never met anyone who loves Legos like this, but this is so cool. Like I wish I loved, like I had a little thing like that.
But we did a podcast with someone. I'm trying to remember who it was who did Legos. I can't think of, it was someone from the US. I'm going to think, I'll figure it out once we're done, of course. But yeah, all of you now, you guys will have to exchange, you know.
Yes.
All right. You guys have any other questions before we go to rapid fire? Do you have like 3 more minutes? Is that okay?
Yeah, go for it.
What's a world record you have a shot at beating?
It could be anything, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think most cups of tea consumed in one day.
Nice.
How many do you usually do?
I've had to like challenge myself to drink less. I was at a point of like at least 5, but now I'm like 2 to 3.
Decaf or caffeinated?
No, caffeinated. Yeah.
Oh, that's like you with coffee.
all day. I just make a pot and I leave it hot the whole day. So I can just, whenever I want a cup, I'll just pour myself a cup.
It's amazing. Because if I had 5 cups of caffeinated anything, I would be in another stratosphere.
Right. What is your spirit animal?
Penguin.
Why?
That's not a very Australian type animal, is it?
I mean, there's some of them there. I mean, I got given like a toy penguin when I was younger, and that's one of the toys that travels with me everywhere. But they're just so cute, and they waddle everywhere. And then like, there's one like certain species of penguins that like they do the whole thing where they give each other a pebble and then they mate for life. I think it's just so cute.
Did you ever see Pebble and the Penguin? Please tell me you have, the cartoon.
What is that?
Watch it. It's a movie. It's called Pebble and the Penguin, and it is one of my favorite childhood movies.
I've never heard of it.
It's so good. It's like a Disney. It's a Disney movie.
Oh, that's so cool. I mean, I gave my girlfriend a pebble, so now she's stuck with me. So
yeah. They mate for life too, penguins, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
If you could have dinner with any athlete, who would it be? Any sport?
Oh. Probably Ash Barty. She's technically retired now, tennis player, but absolute legend.
And what type of dinner are you going out for?
Oh, romantic candlelit dinner. probably, what would we do? I don't know why. Like, look, since I had food poisoning, my appetite's like all over the shop, but like, I'm just really craving mac and cheese right now. So I don't know.
Somewhere that served very fancy mac and cheese.
Or mac and cheese and hang out.
All right. Last question. What's your biggest soccer girl prob?
Oof. Besides food poisoning in a country.
Yeah, that one's tough. I mean, I think just like never knowing when to wash my hair. My hair is just like constantly, just like the top of my head just gets oily and the rest of it's clean. It's a mess. So
sometimes there's no point in doing your hair.
This has been 7 days.
Yeah. Dude,
me too. And I keep just saying like, well, I'll just do it tomorrow because there's no point today. And then it just continues.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to have to run again tomorrow. Why? What's the point? Unless I have something I need. Unless I'm going to dinner with Ash Barty, I'm not going to do it. So.
Yeah, exactly. I love it.
That is right now. All of our hair is a week at least.
Reese is hiding in this bun.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. Slick.
Well, Alex, thank you so much for coming on. It was great to get to know you more, and we're so excited to continue to watch your career.
Nah, thanks, guys. It's awesome to meet you guys. I actually, this is super creepy, but like, I half met you guys. I did not meet you, but like, I like saw you in human form when we were like, I was on a trip with Atletico. It was preseason, and we were playing against like North Carolina, someone else, and Man City. And you guys were in the box, and we were in the box, and yes. I was like, other English speaking people, and I just did not know how to communicate, and I was literally standing right next to you guys like say something, could not say anything. So now I've been able to speak to you guys. It's awesome
there
for me.
That's hilarious. I remember that box, and I remember you guys being in there. There were so many of you, and we were today, we're like, we didn't know what, like, how to talk to you guys either. That's hilarious.
Oh, exactly. I was like, should we think I'm Spanish? I need to like say something.
Please do remember that.
110 degrees outside.
You should have dropped a Lego and been like, is this your Lego?
I honestly, like, I could have freaking said anything. And then, yeah, it's been a regret all my life. So when you message on Instagram, I was like, oh my God, it's my time.
I remember thinking, I was like, I would love to like introduce ourselves or talk, but I just knew it was like a foreign speaking team, and I was like, I'm gonna make an idiot out of myself. Yep.
Small world. The soccer world is small.
It
is crazy. All right, well, have a great rest of the day. Thank you so much for coming on, and I hope you don't get food poisoning again, knock on wood.
Yes, I really hope not.
Awesome.
Yeah,
thanks Alex. Bye.
Bye. Yeah.